The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But that's not why I'm tired. My husband was snoring like crazy last night again, you guys. Like five times I woke up and had to like gently reach over and give him a little pat.
Gently.
Are you awake?
Yeah.
I just want you to know I hate you. So does my dad.
Well, that's fine. Guess what? I hate you too.
Hey, I am trying to be gentle. What? Now, one time.
I was about to say.
On what?
So the first time. Yes. How hard was it the second time?
No, still trying to be gentle. I believe it was the third time I caught him with a fingernail.
This house sucks ass. Well, the only reason you're living here is because me and my dad decided that your mom was really hot.
Why don't you guys listen to me?
I try to.
No, not you.
Oh.
Women.
Oh.
I tell my wife to have a squirt gun, and anytime you snore, you squirt in the face.
Like a cat?
Yes.
You and your mom are hillbillies. This is a house of learned doctors. You're not a doctor. You're a big, fat, curly-headed f***.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he won't fight. He ain't doing nothing but...
So some clips from that open... from the movie Step Brothers, a movie that the first time I hated it. And then the more I saw it, the more I found it funny, and now I think it's fantastic.
Why'd you hate it?
I don't know. I don't know. I just thought it was too stupid. It's pretty stupid.
It is stupid. But like all of his movies halfway through, then they get terrible. Like that movie could end... What part would it end? Right after they go interview... for the jobs.
Hello, Ms. Lady.
Yes. Could end it there. And it would have been a B. Instead, it's a C. Like all his movies. Sorry.
Except for Elf.
Elf even has a point where it's...
Really?
Right after...
I figured since, like, again, if I actually went through and put pictures for all the contacts I have in my phone, the one I would do for you is the one you sent me in your Elf costume.
Yes.
With a 2-liter Coke.
Yes.
Just downing it the way that I'm guessing there was.
But right after the little person beat him up, then it could end.
Yeah.
Because it was terrible after that.
He's an angry elf.
He is an angry elf. I can be an angry elf.
Are you angry today? You seem to be in decent enough spirits today. I never know what we're going to get from Chewy on a Monday. But I feel Chewy on summer Mondays, like you've had the lake. Spirits still might be a little high from festivities over the weekend. I feel like... this isn't the typical January, February, March Chewy on a Monday.
It was a great weekend. The only thing is, as your kids leave the house, Father's Day isn't the same.
Okay. So what did you do for Father's Day?
Me and my wife hung out on the lake.
No kids.
No kids. So it was fine.
So no kids came back for Father's Day. Did you at least get a text from
the
kids?
Yes, and a call. They're coming back for the 4th.
Okay.
So it would have been a double dip.
Yeah.
Which is probably even better because 4th of July, top three holidays.
I was about to say, if you had to choose, you'd probably choose that they come on the 4th.
Yeah.
Because you think that'd be more fun.
So we'll celebrate it then.
Okay.
But it was a good day. Weather, a little steamy. It's hot.
I was about to say, you kind of have a love-hate thing with the kids not being around.
Yes.
It seems like you love it when they are around, but also hate it when they're around.
And then, okay. For a half hour. And then it's time to move on.
For not even half of it. Like, you can't even stand them for half of a Will Ferrell.
Because the older I get, I like things clean and in place.
Half
and with
hour?
Kids, maybe an hour.
I mean, I was about to
say,
you're not even catching up with your kids for a half hour. It takes longer than that just to kind of catch up, see what's going on, right?
Yeah, the 4th will be fine. What did you do? Did you go see your pops?
Well, so I had my parents sold their house recently in Horicon, and they are building onto the back of where my dad's an electrician, had his own business for a very long time, and the property where that is, they're adding kind of the back of his workshop, and that's where they're going to live. Great view of the river. It's something that they've always wanted to do. Like 3 Christmases ago, My mom was like, oh, this is probably going to be the last Christmas in this house. And it just took a while for them, you know, get the house organized, get everything the way they wanted. And now they're ready. But the house itself isn't built yet. And of course, my dad's going to be doing some of the own, you know, like his, you know, he's got friends that are going to be helping him out, you know, with the build, general contractors, things of that nature. And he's got things that he needs to do in order to get the property ready for the build. And he feels like he's behind on that. So I had gotten tickets. We were going to go to the Brewers game yesterday for Father's Day, which turned out to be a great game. More on that in just a moment. But he was like, man, if I come down, like, I'm just going to be stressed thinking about that, not even going to have a good time. So don't worry about it. I'm going to see him for the next few weeks here. Yeah. 4th of July. One of my nephews has a birthday party, so we're going to see him quite a bit.
Well, we did. There was a cool thing that I forgot. So we went over Angie's parents for Father's Day, and her brother is a musician.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've
has a foundation called This Time Tomorrow. And you guys heard of David Cook?
David
Won
Cook.
American Idol.
Okay, I was about to say, yeah, the name sounds familiar.
He had
familiar.
A couple songs. That So he was with us.
Oh, really?
It was kind of cool. Yeah, he was in town recording something for Tony's, my brother-in-law, Tony's foundation. Really nice guy.
I don't want you to take this the wrong way. But you've got a little Forrest Gump in you, don't you?
You know what? And we were talking about that yesterday. I really kind of do.
Like, you've got, because if you've ever seen the movie Forrest Gump, he's got so many touch points of so many like famous people. And I think that's kind of the wink and nod of the movie. But you've got a story, like you've got an American Idol story.
Yeah.
You've got a, you know, we can't share the story, but Travis Kelce story. You've got Jim Craig's your neighbor down in Florida.
You know what it is?
You're hanging out with Hootie and the Blowfish. You're blowing off Cindy Crawford. Like
I talked about it with my father-in-law. Okay. You know what it is?
What is it?
The last name.
Chimura.
It's such a weird name. They're like, how do I know that name? They don't know what the hell, but they know they've possibly heard it before. Like, if my last name was Jones,
sure,
I wouldn't meet anyone.
So if your name was Tommy Jones, and you still had the same career that you did, your name's Tommy Jones, three-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion, Green Bay Packers, you retire down to Florida.
No one would know.
You don't think that you would,
nope.
Like Jim Craig, that interaction would never happen.
Correct.
Huh.
You think so?
I don't know. Because you still, like, I don't know if it's because you run in the same circles, plus you have...
I don't have like circles anymore, though.
Well, but I'm just saying, the circle of living in the neighborhood in which you do.
Yes.
Like, there is, not that there's a physical gate outside the community, but there's a monetary gate,
It is an island.
And I'm... Okay, so maybe there's a moat.
So there's a moat. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you did, you know, you were smart with your money, you've been able to save your money, you're doing well for yourself, so to live in the place that you do in Florida, like, that's going to generally lean itself to running into people like a Jim Craig.
Yes. And he's a Kansas City Chiefs fan, David Cook.
Okay.
And he remembered the name. He's like, oh, yeah. So what's the name? I think it's the name.
You think it's the name.
If it was Arthur Jones, he'd be like, oh, really? Yeah.
Who'd you play for?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, interesting
weekend. Is he onto something here, Joshy? Do you think it's the last name that he has all these interactions with these just famous people, other famous people?
I think it's unique enough. But if you look at this past one, this is, like, it's not through you that you really met this
guy. That's what I'm saying.
Correct. Yeah.
So but it's still a story.
You have enough connections and enough people that are known or doing things interesting enough that it kind of creates this big storm for you where you're rubbing elbows with some people of different fame levels seemingly every other week.
Yeah, because he was fascinated. He's a Chiefs and Royals fan.
Okay.
And he didn't realize that Andy Reid was my first coach. So he's picking my brain.
Oh, that's, about Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the football thing, I can make all that make sense. Yeah. Like all the different football people, just because the one of the things I've learned knowing you now as long as I have is that football is very small. It's very insular. Like the stories you tell now of your son, who's now going through the coaching ranks.
Yes.
And the connections that he has because of the people that you know, like it's all, you know, it's football can seem big at times, but the community itself, once you're in it, is probably pretty small. So I can make all the different football connections. You know, you run into another guy.
Sure.
They, of course, know you because they played you in the league. But I'm like, it's all the other stuff. It's the blowing off the Cindy Crawford. It's hanging out with Hootie and the Blowfish. It's all that stuff. That's just wild to me.
Also, still looking like you could play in an NFL game probably helps people recognize what's going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because they look.
Doesn't
and
hurt.
Like, yeah. They look and they're like, all right, well, he did something. Yeah, I don't know what, but he did something.
That's if you see a 7-footer who's, okay, chances are this guy might have played basketball.
What'd you guys think of the gift my wife got me?
What did she get you?
Game of Thrones.
Wait, that photoshopped picture was your Father's Day gift?
That was a painting, yes.
That was a painting?
Oh, that was a painting?
A painting.
Oh, I thought it was just
I thought it was like an AI-generated thing.
No! That's a painting.
That's all I thought it was, too. Okay, so it's a painting. That makes more sense of being... I just thought she got you some digital photo that you can share with everybody.
It was a painting of me sitting on the Iron Throne. And they replaced Jon Snow's face with mine.
Can we share that?
I will work on getting.
Yeah, you
up
could
there
share.
I was asking Chewie for permission first.
Where does it go in the house though? Because it's got to go somewhere.
Okay, so if it's an actual physical painting, it has to go somewhere in the house.
I'm thinking bathroom.
I didn't realize it was a physical painting. Yeah, bathroom would be perfect.
Because the throne.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Iron throne, porcelain throne.
Yeah, you can post that. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is so. It's yeah. It's a lot cooler now that I know it's a photo. That's an actual, physical painting.
You did a good job, too. Kind of looks like me.
I would say it looks like you.
It certainly looks like you. The thing I was confused about is the head, it seems like it's not straight on, which made me think it was a digital, AI thing.
It's kind of long, too.
A little horsey.
Do I have a horse face?
A little bit. Half a cup.
He nailed the hair. Yeah. Which is probably one of the most important things.
We need to get out. We need definitely to share that picture.
Yeah, I will have that by at latest the next segment.
All right. We'll put that out at Jen Gabe Cheery. Make sure you check that out on Twitter. But I did mention that I was at the Brewers game yesterday. Brewers did win in exciting fashion. But it also, Dom Catronio, who does such a great job on Brewers Extra Innings over on WTMJ, he was a little fired up after the game because some of the questions that he was getting, which leads us to other questions we have about the Milwaukee Brewers and their offseason. We are going to do that coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363.
What's that?
Number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's the Bible verse, John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it says.
I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Sims deals, swing and a drive to center and deep. Get up, get up, get out of here and gone. Willie Adames just hit a three-run shot out of here.
Yuke on the call over on WTMJ and the Brewers Radio Network yesterday. Willie Adames, three-run dinger that put the Brewers ahead. They won, ended up winning their series with the Cincinnati Reds. Second time this week that Willie had a big late inning three-run dinger for the Brewers during that homestand. And then the game ended also in a very exciting way, Chew. Again, I happened to be there. Brewers up by a run. Things are kind of struggling a little bit for Trevor McGill. And, well, here's how the game ended after a base hit into center field.
Trevor McGill swinging a pop-up. Shallow center, base hit. The throw coming home. It is going to be in time. They got him on a perfect throw from Perkins and Sutter. The out on the throw. 8-2 ends the game.
Brewers win thanks to that throw. Contreras was a little shaken up right after. Thankfully, appears to be okay. But I mean, again, everything's great right now for the Milwaukee Brewers. They're in first place, one of the just couple of teams in the National League above 500. And it's not like they're barely above 500. We're fastly approaching, the month of July, and the Brewers are in first place in the standings by 6.5 games over the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
So things are going great. But last night, or yesterday afternoon, I should say, some fans got under the skin of Dom Catronio, and Dominic does a great job on Brewers Extra Innings, hosting that after each and every Brewers game over on WTMJ. Here's what Dom had to say about Willie Adames after yesterday's game.
Okay, I already took one call to this. now we're getting another text about it. I know I'm going to get a lot more texts about it the rest of the year. So I'm going to stand on my soapbox here for a second and rant. Willy Adames has hit a three-run homer. He makes incredible plays. He is mentoring your rookies. He is doing incredible things in the community. The whole clubhouse loves him. The coaching staff loves him. The fans love him. He is an electric personality. And here we are, after an epic 5-4 win, winning a series against a rival, having a great Father's Day weekend at home. When are we going to trade him? Shut up and enjoy things. I'm sorry. I'm sick of it. He's on the team. Enjoy it. This is incredible. I understand everyone is feeling a little bit shell-shocked after the Hader trade in 2022. And it bore fruit. Look, in hindsight now, it's like, okay, that sucked in the moment, and they lost the division because of it, you could argue. And quite frankly, the same thing would happen again if they traded Willy Adames this year. I could see them spiraling without their clubhouse leader. I think it'll be a little bit easier, though, since they have Brandon Woodruff and they have Wade Miley around. But man, I'm sick of it. He's doing great. Let's enjoy it. I cannot wait to interview him at 4:01 p.m. July 30th when he is still a Brewer and just give him a hug and say, you made it. Exhale. Let's go play ball.
So this has been a topic of conversation. If you're just diving into Brewer season now, Willie is going to be a free agent at year's end. Earlier this season, the Brewers had come out on the record saying they tried to enter some negotiations with him and they couldn't come to any sort of contract extension. So clearly Willie and his representation looking to cash in as a 29-year-old free agent shortstop during the offseason. And this is the realities of Brewers baseball. Somebody like Willy Adames comes up for free agency. Either you trade them or walk them, let them walk away. And look, it's a little different now where you can get a compensatory pick. So it's not necessarily walking away from you know, for nothing, but it kind of is, because who knows if that one singular draft pick works out, but at least you're getting something. But this has been, you know, a topic of conversation because, and Dom mentioned it there, the Josh Hader trade from a couple of years ago, where out of nowhere, the Brewers traded their closer and the clubhouse just did not get it and like it or get behind it. Is this a fair fear that Brewers fans have that their leader, this guy who's had a lot of clutch hits already this season, could be traded in the middle of the year?
Well, can we agree that they can't afford him? At the end of the season, when he hits free agency, well,
so
I believe they won't. They can't pay him.
I don't think they will pay him. I am with you. But to be honest, Chu, like, I've been going over this in my head. I have no idea what Willy Adames is worth on the open market.
Well, you said Story. You said right now he's 10th, but so, there's a gap between him and 9, which is Story for the Red Sox.
Correct.
Making about $10 million more.
So Willy Adames this year through arbitration was making about $12.5 million. Trevor Story's up in that $22 million range. So I think it's either $9.5 or $10 million, the gap between 10 and 9 in terms of shortstops.
So it could go north of that.
It could, certainly, but I don't know. I honestly
don't. It's not going to be less. There's no way it's less than.
Major League Baseball and free agency is super strange right now. It's very weird.
Well, here's my take. What do you think they would get for him if they did trade him?
I mean, you're just getting prospects.
A bunch of young prospects?
You're just getting a handful of prospects, a couple prospects.
I'm in the camp of keep him.
1,000%.
Keep him.
Yes.
Go all in. Go out and get another, I don't care if it's a rental or whatever, but this is looking to be one of the best chances so far that they've had in recent history. I mean, they're 6.5 up.
Yep.
There's really no threat. I mean, those four teams in the division are very meh.
Correct. Cubs in last place, by the way.
Yeah. I would.
Thought it was worth noting.
I mean, what would you get? Go get another arm?
Yeah, I would go get another arm.
I mean, you don't
arm.
Need a bat.
No, they're because they're going to be getting another bat back here. And it's really more starting pitching than anything, because the starting pitching, you know, take a look at Wade Miley. Well, he's out for the year, unfortunately. Still good to have him around as like this locker room clubhouse guy, but he's not going to be around. Robert Gasser had some really good starts.
Yeah.
They're approaching, again, still no, I guess, official word on the third opinion that he's getting, although if you're getting a third opinion on something, chances are it's not going to be good. And the Brewers are already approaching it as if he's going to be unavailable to them for the rest of the season.
And let's not forget, Devin Williams is coming back in a month or so. So, that's going to bolster
the
roster as well. I would keep him and go get an arm. And then say, hey, we're all in.
Well, so that's the interesting part. Because then Buster Olney, I don't know if we have this sound, Joshy. So, if you want to talk about the Brewers being more aggressive and going and getting somebody, something that they have done in the past, they haven't been super aggressive, I would say. You know, since the CC Sabathia, Zach Greinke days, they've made certainly some minor moves here and there. But this, again, baseball is just in this weird space right now where the offseason was kind of lackluster. Some free agents kind of hung out there for a while before teams started kind of scooping them up. So on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, Buster Olney made an appearance and just kind of throwing some names out there, trying to figure out what exactly the trade deadline is going to look like. And here's what Olney had to say about the trade deadline.
Talking with executives around baseball, their feeling is, look, there are very few teams coming off this really slow free agent winter that have available cash. And so if you're a team that has money, you can make deals.
Yeah.
Like if you call the Mets, and I'm just pulling their name out of a hat, you might call them and say, look, we're not going to give you an A prospect for Harrison Bader or Luis Severino, but we'll take a salary on and we'll give you a B-minus prospect. And that might be good enough for a player like that, which means you don't have to cut into your farm system. But at the same time, you're signaling to your fan base, look, we're trying. You're signaling your players, we're trying. We're going to get better without cutting into what you perceive to be your best parts of your future.
So if the Brewers are willing to spend a little bit of money, at least according to one of the best baseball insiders out there, if you want to get somebody, I mean, Luis Severino would be a big bolster for the Brewers. That's exactly what they're looking for. Starting pitcher, he's on a one-year, $13 million deal right now. He's kind of offered to pick up everything, take on the full freight of that contract, and you're not going to have to give up much because teams are going to be looking to dump some salary.
No, I'd take a B-minus pitcher. I agree. I just think if you trade him, fan base would be irate. I think the players may understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they get it. They get the business side of things.
I don't think if the Brewers trade Willy Adames, they can't recover from it. They did it once. The fan base, for the most part, again, it's still in the back of some people's minds because that's why they're reaching out during the postgame show going, kind of wringing their hands, wondering when Willie's going to get traded.
Yeah, but don't you understand the hater thing now? I understand it now.
I understand it now. And it did, Dom pointed out, it bore some fruit. Some good players from that trade, and then players that you were able to use to go get somebody like William Contreras certainly have made the team better right now. However, it had such an adverse reaction on that team that season.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Brewers can look at this one and go, okay, we do have Jordy Ortiz, and he's going to be our shortstop of the future, but we've got Willie now. We're going to keep Willie now because you trade Willie, man, because right now, with a new manager, with a new general manager, they're relatively new with Matt Arnold. Mm-hmm. I know he's been around, but he wasn't the one who ultimately made the decision on the Hader trade. That was Stearns. So you can at least sell, hey, this is a different regime. They've learned from that lesson. And if they trade Willy Adames, I fear that you could potentially lose a big chunk of the fan base. Because right now you got enough people believing, you got enough people buying in, and you've got one of the best records in the National League.
You got to go all in.
You got to make a push.
And I think they will. I think they're smart enough.
I don't know what all in necessarily means for them because it all depends upon who's out there in the trade market.
Well, it's different because CC Sabathia was all in to make the playoffs for the first time in a long time. That wasn't all in to win the World Series.
True, but a CC Sabathia or somebody of that ilk,
if they did that now,
isn't always available.
Yeah. No, the problem.
It's not always wise to give up what it takes to get a CC Sabathia.
And we were fine with that, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we were fine.
Everybody
playoffs,
was 1,000%
and it was great.
Everybody was 1,000% in.
I want to comment here on what Dom is saying because I think Dom obviously is dealing with this every single day. We are not in the streets of having to deal with Brewers fans complaining to us about every time something good happens, well, when's the next shoe going to drop? But I do think the just enjoy it thing to me, comes off at times, and it's things that Brewers fans, even sometimes Packers fans do, when you know your feelings are going to get hurt and the end result isn't going to be ultimately what you like, but you just have to enjoy it now because the other shoe is eventually going to drop. Like,
yeah.
I don't hold it against any Brewers fan who looks across and goes, hey, this kind of makes me think this isn't going to be all it's worth, or this... I can wait for I'm expecting something bad to happen here because the Brewers have a past history of that bad thing happening. Obviously, the hater trade is a one-time thing that destroyed the clubhouse, took them out of playoff contention, ruined what was looking to be a pretty good season for that team.
Yep.
Just enjoy it to me is kind of like...
And also, just as a side note, like very similar situation where they had... Devin Williams as that, like, oh, he's going to be our next closer, you know, when they had Hader, so yeah. They thought they could. And they have Joey Ortiz
right.
as that next shortstop. So I can see the parallels certainly between the two stars.
Are there parallels to Davante Adams?
I don't
Did they screw so. Up by not offering him a contract
a
year ago?
I think Willie was always going to get to free agency.
Yes. He was?
Because shortstops get paid.
Uh-huh.
I honestly don't know if he's going to get 22 a year. I don't know if somebody's going to come up and give him an 8-year, $22 million a year contract. No idea. No clue. It could. Maybe it does. But Willie wants to find out. And understandably so. Understandably that he would want to get to free agency because whatever. I know Mark Attanasio spoke earlier this season about trying to get to some sort of contract extension with Willie. Obviously, the Brewers aren't going to go, yeah, we're going to give you 8 years, $25 million. Here's $200 million. That's just not happening.
I also do think it's fair for Brewers fans to be like, I just want to play this out with Willy Adames, which seems like right now seems like what the case is going to be, because they've gotten so sick and tired of we're building for the future. Because that has been the excuse for every time. Why aren't they adding more? Why aren't they signing guys? Why aren't they bringing more guys in? And now you're looking at it going, well, maybe this time, with this team and the way it's constructed, we can score some damn runs in the playoffs.
But the future is now.
Yes.
Yeah. And here's the fun part, though. So they've got a lot of young players, especially outfielders, going. And Garrett Mitchell's still coming up. And from that Buster Olney clip that we just heard of how, yeah, maybe you give up a B-minus prospect, give up a B-minus outfield prospect who's not up on the roster, pay full freight for the rest of the way for Luis Severino, which, what, $6.5 million? Like, that would be a really great deal for the Brewers. Mm-hmm. That adds the starting pitching that you're looking for. And I will tell you this, and I'm a baseball nerd, I get it. Love baseball. I went to 2 games this weekend. The Brewers play a really fun brand of baseball. They're a young athletic team that's stealing bases. They're pushing. And every once in a while, they make it out on the base paths, which is fine. That goes with the territory. But they're pushing the envelope. They're making other teams make plays. They play a fun brand, and they're scoring runs. They're doing it differently. Christian Yelich bunted in a run yesterday. There's not a lot of three hitters across the league. They're going, oh, I'll just bunt for a base hit and drive in a run here because our team absolutely needs it. It's a fun team right now. And I think people are buying in. That's why you can't trade Willy Adames.
But could you imagine if they had Burns and Woodruff? Woodruff wasn't hurt.
Yeah. So I thought that there was a chance before they traded Burns that they just decided to run it out with Burns this year.
Yeah.
The way they are with Willy. Obviously they didn't. And look, that could be another move that absolutely works out for them because Joey Ortiz is looking really damn good as your shortstop of the future.
If you look at his numbers, he's arguably like in the MVP conversation. Which is an absurd thing to say, but when you compare him against the best players across the MLB, his numbers, now he hasn't done it long enough, sustained, whatever, but his numbers are as good as they come.
Yeah.
And, like, he should be Rookie of the Year. He probably won't win it just because it's Milwaukee. Fanfare isn't quite there. But
I mean, he keeps doing this. He's going to have a real good shot at the end of the season. If the Brewers continue to play this well, he plays that well, and he's a big reason, like, he's going to be a part of that conversation.
Yeah, I don't want to go after Dom for this, but like it's almost like put the blinders on and just have fun.
Yeah.
Which at times makes sense. But for Brewers fans to kind of be apprehensive, I also don't blame them. I also don't think it's out of line. Now, maybe I wouldn't do it directly after he hits a 3-run go-ahead home run. maybe I'd let it simmer until the next day. Like today, that's something we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a discussion we should be having. But after Blake Perkins throws someone out, after Adames hits the home run, like all these things were great. And it was an exciting, incredible game. But I don't blame anybody.
But to defend Dom, Dom's my guy.
Like Dom, if big Dom fan.
If we get to the trade deadline and he's a Brewer at 4:01 on July 30th.
He dealt with a lot of headaches for no reason.
That too. But then can we, if we get to the 30th, and hopefully the Brewers make a move, but if Adames and they don't do that move, can we just put the blinders on and have fun with this team in August and September and worry about whatever happens after that?
What's 29 in football terms? Is 29 your prime in baseball?
Oh, yeah. He's in his prime. Yeah,
he's like 26.
Well, he's 28.
No, I'm saying like in terms of NFL.
Football. Oh, yeah. He's like 26. Yes.
26.
You got to move it back. Like this.
At a premium position. Yes. He's like a 26-year-old cornerback.
Yes.
Is there really no way they could pay him?
Look, I think we've had this conversation.
I'm like.
I don't think there is a way they do pay him. Because here's the problem. And you talk about the unfairness of baseball. Like, the Packers go out and they, you know, make splash news. Oh, they signed Josh Jacobs and it's a 4-year deal. Then you get to the details and,
A 1-year deal.
It's a 1-year deal with kind of 3 options for the Packers on the back end of it. In baseball.
All guaranteed.
I mean, some players, like, so Bobby Witt, who is a shortstop for the Kansas City Royals. I don't know if anybody knows who he is. But he signed a mega deal, like you super young player, like a Jackson Churio, only with Kansas City. Signed a huge deal. He's got outs. The Royals don't have outs, but he's got outs because he's such a young player and can do those sorts of things. Like, Willie's going to get like a 6-year deal. In the NBA, they limit the length of contracts.
Mm-hmm.
In baseball, people get crazy and they hand you like, do I want to be paying Willie Adames in 8 years? Probably not. If they could sign him to a 4-year deal, that'd be great, but if somebody's willing to offer him 7 and it's fully guaranteed, like that's kind of the in between you find yourself stuck in, is because a lot of these big time contracts that get signed end up just being anchors on your team if you're a team like the Brewers when you get to the last year or two.
Yeah, the Brewers could pay, as we've discussed, anyone that they'd like to. The problem would be is once they pay Willie Adames, what does that mean for the rest of the roster and where do they have to cut corners?
Yeah.
Because even though they could spend a lot more money than they currently are, an unwillingness to spend above that is just going to affect the rest of the roster.
Yep.
So it is what it is, and at some point you just have to accept that. So is it the right deal for the Brewers to make that deal? Who knows? But I'm with Gabe. If he's still a Brewer after the trade deadline, like 4:01, like Dom said there, I will not care what happens to him. I would love for him to come back if the Brewers are able to sign Willie Adames. He's everything you'd ever want in a guy in your hometown playing for your team. But if they can't sign him, they can't. And if they're making an honest effort, that's all I guess I can really ask.
So, I agree with Dom. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Again,
just enjoy.
Hopefully we get in 6 weeks to the end of the trade deadline on July 30th.
I won't give him the enjoy it until after the trade deadline.
Okay. I feel that's a fair negotiation.
Let's make a deal.
Feel fair negotiation. Just because there is that little bit of nervousness because it did happen 2 years ago, and because Jory Ortiz is right there. You know that guy's going to be the shortstop of the future.
And also, guess what? If they do end up trading him and they get a prospect who seems worth it, say Jory Ortiz or whoever they add, I'm still going to enjoy that player when they're playing for the Brewers. But in the moment, it sucks. And that's what being a fan is.
100%.
Like, I understand the William Contreras thing never happens without Hader.
Yep.
The Brewers suck without William
Contreras.
I was still
talking about
then,
MVP candidates.
And I'm still enjoying it now. So it is what it is. It's baseball. It's how it works. But those things in the moment don't feel good, especially when we saw it lead to them not winning the division like we expected that year.
Yeah. Yeah, and it stinks. And it stinks because Willie is beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's good. Yeah. He's very good.
Yeah, he's not Giannis territory, which seems impossible.
Well, so that's the crazy part. Like, he's not an all-star. I don't think he's making an all-star team this year.
You don't think so? Oh, because the
shortstop
is
so
loaded.
So competitive. And, like,
players.
Well, you take a look at, like, Ellie De La Cruz.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, he might be the only all-star from the Reds.
By the way, did he steal second, third, and home?
No. So he stole second.
Okay.
And then they tried to pick him off second base.
Yes.
And then he scored from second after the ball dribbled into center field. Uh-huh. Guy's really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there was no reason to try to pick him off. Like, you're not getting him.
Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah.
He's also, like, 6'4".
Yeah, I know.
So he can just smooth, stick that though. Leg out.
Oh, he's so smooth.
He's smooth.
He's so smooth. You should have heard, like, Snoop Dogg kind of reacting to some of the things he did in the booth. Oh, Snoop was in the booth on Saturday. It was fantastic. It was hilarious talking about some of the things. Like, he thought somebody was going to be safe at first. Like, oh, he doesn't have an arm like that. Oh, I guess he does have an arm like that. Like, it was just, it was... Snoop Dogg in Milwaukee.
He's the coolest guy on the planet. I'm just saying.
Let's play it here. Instead of a couple of white guys trying to sound like Snoop Dogg, let's let Snoop Dogg do it in his own way.
I came in where the players come in at, because I'm a player. Get up in there. Oh, he's safe. He can't throw that. He ain't got no arm like that. No, he don't.
No, he does, though.
No, he don't.
Oh, he does.
Who is that with that rocket?
Ellie De La Cruz.
Oh, Lord.
With a howitzer.
He got a rocket in his pocket. Oh, he made that. Are you...
Thanks to Bally Sports for the audio.
I don't think there's audio that exists of this, but he was hanging out in the dugout on the game on Saturday, and then Pat Murphy was asked about it after the game. And you know what Pat Murphy's quote about Snoop Dogg was?
What?
He seemed like a nice man.
That's so Pat Murphy.
It was hilarious.
Snoop, there's no smoking in the dugout.
Well, it could have been. Who knows? With Snoop, you put all the rules aside there, big guy.
Who's telling him to put that out?
Yeah, good point.
Good luck. If you decide that you're going to be that one, good luck to you if you're going to be trying to tell him that. Also, some U.S. Open things happening yesterday. We do have some Packers talk. Plus, I have a question about air conditioning. We get all of that as we roll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, I mean, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer.
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Brewers are in first place, but of course, some conversation yesterday on Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ about Willy Adames and will he be a Brewer past the trade deadline. We were just having that conversation. If you happen to miss it, check it out, Wisconsin On Demand. Ryan from Iguanago texting in at 800-990-3776, Willy the Cub, which, look, again, I understand, especially after everything with Craig Counsell, but so here's the danger of signing big-time contracts in baseball. The Cubs, going into the 2023 season, signed Dansby Swanson to a 7-year, $177 million contract. They're paying him $26 million this year. Paying Dansby Swanson $26 million this year. Second year of a deal. He was an all-star last year. This year, Dansby stinks. 212 batting average.
Well, that's not good.
291 on base percentage. Like, it's bad. Like, it's bad. So that's always the risk you run, and there's no outs. You know, there are zero outs. They are paying this man $28 or $26 million per year through the 2029 season. So I think that's also kind of the point of, yes, I would love to have Willy Adames around, but there's also risk if you end up signing him to a six-year, you know, $177 million contract.
That's so weird to me how players just fall off the map.
In baseball?
Yeah. Because good players in football are pretty consistent, right? They may have an off year, but they're not going from a 110-catch season to a 40-catch season. Unless there's injuries.
Certainly.
But that's essentially what, I mean, 212 and he's making $27
million? Yeah.
I mean, what do you do? You can't cut him.
No, he can't.
No.
Because he's just on the hook for it. He's got to hope he gets better.
Baseball is that one interesting, well, certainly there's mental aspect in football. The getting in your head at the plate and being stuck there happens in baseball just so consistently.
Really?
Well, plus...
It's also very hard.
I don't... I'm not trying to be disrespectful. This may come across as disrespectful, so you tell me if it is. But football, not that... Because there are certainly skills in football. But I feel like, unless you're a quarterback... like for a wide receiver, a running back, a tight end, you're more relying on your athletic gifts. Like, you know, if you're a fast wide receiver, you're going to be a fast wide receiver for a while. You know, there's not the hand eye, you know, your hands kind of get off just a little bit. So then you suddenly, your numbers drop. You know, there's just...
But that usually baseball, goes hand in hand.
In baseball, it's more skill than athleticism, even though there's obviously athleticism in it as well.
But
does that make sense?
Yeah, but in football, it goes hand in hand of not working hard in the offseason.
Sure.
You know, if you're not on the jugs machines, if you're not catching 300 balls a week and not putting in the work, you're going to drop balls out there.
Yeah.
And your stats will reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of the same way in baseball?
Certainly, if you're not putting in the work, sometimes you just lose it, and you just lose your bat speed as you get older. Some guys just kind of fall off. Maybe you had an injury, and you got to swing it a little differently. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors in it. It's like sometimes you just lose the ability to hit a slider, and then everybody
or you just don't see it as well.
Everybody in the MLB knows that, and that's all you face. So not only do you know it's an issue, every time you go to the plate, they only throw it to you. Like, to a certain extent, like Devontae Adams goes out there, and he's going to know how to run routes until he slows down. And he's still going to be able to run good routes. It's just people are going to keep up with him. Like, there is a certain aspect of, like, no matter what the opponent does to you, like, a good receiver is going to get open. A guy struggling with the slider is going to struggle with it until he finds his way out of it, until he hits his way out of that.
But I've always said in football, I would rather be smarter than more talented.
Sure.
You know, because as you get to the end of your career and things slow down, your knowledge of the game carries you for another 3 or 4 years. That's how it used to be. I don't think they do that anymore because
they'd
rather play the younger players.
Think of like a Charles Woodson kind of changing positions and becoming a different player later in his career. And that mirrors in baseball. Like a lot of pitchers have these resurgences because they no longer can just throw it harder than everyone else.
Yeah.
They have to, like Justin Verlander went through it, who then mysteriously got all his speed back as well. But
wonder how that happened.
Stuff like that happens in baseball where a guy just basically has to, he did it one way and now he has to do it another. And it's definitely more rare in football, but you can see it still.
A couple more texts I just want to get to here quickly. Would you trade Willie for a good starting pitcher? I would not. Just again, based off of some of the things that Buster Olney was saying on a baseball podcast, I don't think you're going to have to give up Willie for a starting pitcher. I don't think anybody would be looking for Willie because that's the problem. Like somebody who would want Willie Adames is a team that's contending and they want him to be a contender. They're not selling you a good piece back.
Yeah.
And then this one, danger is you, if in terms of long-term contracts, you wind up with a Yelich and cripple your franchise for 8 years. I don't know if Christian Yelich is the one I'd be complaining about right now with him having quite possibly his best season since his MVP year.
Yeah. But he did go through a stretch there where it wasn't good.
100%.
Which is going to happen on a 7-year deal.
And also, I do think, to be fair to Christian, his biggest issue was not being on the field because when he was still good enough. He wasn't an MVP, which was probably unfair for us to expect.
Yep.
But it's not like he was going out there and putting up just absolute nothing numbers.
Yeah.
He was
productive. The MVP.
Right.
And look, the power still isn't there. He's got 6 home runs this year, but he's got a lot of doubles. Like he's one of their best players. Like Christian Yelich hitting 3.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Uh-huh.
And he should be hitting 3.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'll say about the Yelich deal. I've got a question about my AC. I'm hoping that Chewy, who owns many houses, can help out me with my one house and air conditioning. But first, I do want to tell you about my friends at Mentality, because they are a local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. I can work some wonky hours. I have some people ask me, man, how do you handle kind of working late at night, doing the early morning show, doing all these different things that you're doing? And my answer is, well, I feel refreshed. I feel rejuvenated because of Mentality. Maybe you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself, don't have that energy to compete at work and sports the way you did a couple years ago. Those could be signs of low testosterone. And Mentality can help. If you do have low testosterone, they can work with you and provide you a customized solution to make sure your testosterone levels are where they need to be. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality. lowtusa.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it. He said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking the ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I don't need the pills you take. Just feel the spirit moving. Brother, I ain't slept in days. All without the drugs you use. Help me for the builders you use me for the...
I like to think I'm a relatively smart person. Kind of figure out what to do in different situations.
Oh.
Damn.
That wasn't nice.
I mean, it's a layup.
Yeah.
Put on a tee for me.
All right, let me know if I do this right, Chewy. Okay. Josh, you and I are broken up for the rest
there,
of the day.
There you go. You nailed it.
I'll take it.
So, it is going to be hot this week. Like, today is kind of kicking off this hot stretch that we have, you know, really for the first time this summer. And all the places I've lived, I've never had, well, I shouldn't say I've never had air conditioning, but the only air conditioning I had was the first apartment I moved into here in Milwaukee. And they just had like one of those window units or whatever. Yeah. So it's just like high, medium, or low. And that's all you did. And then I would end up sleeping on my couch because like the air conditioning wasn't like wrapping around into my bedroom. It'd be significantly warmer in there versus where it was in my living room. So now that my wife and I have our house that we bought back in February, we have central air. So I want to turn on the air. We're going to turn on the air conditioning today. Here's the problem. What do I set my air conditioning at? I literally have no idea what I should be setting. Like, what's a typical temperature that people set their air conditioning
at? We start it at 72 because typically women like it warmer.
Yes.
Men like it cooler.
Well, my wife is also Puerto Rican, so keep that in mind in terms of women liking it warmer.
I personally would like it around 65. It's so great to sleep in.
Okay.
It's great sleeping.
Yeah, great sleeping. My wife wants it 72-ish.
Okay.
Maybe 73, and we compromise, I think, at 71.
All right.
So start it higher than that, you think?
I have no idea. Like, that's why I'm coming to you. That's why I'm coming to you for advice, because I've never... I mean, obviously, I've had like the thermostat that I set in the different houses that I've lived in Milwaukee now for the heat, and we've got that in a good spot. We've figured out where we like it there as a couple, but I have no idea what to put the air conditioning at today when I turn it on.
We got to kind of rewind a little bit. You've been living your whole life in Milwaukee with no AC,
no AC
to like those 100 degree days.
Yeah.
So no, what'd you AC. Do? A fan? Just
yeah.
a fan?
So we had yeah. We had a bunch of fans just going in the house. Tough to sleep at night.
I was going to say, those are some
night,
tough sleepings.
You know, like I've figured it out. You know, you're going to see a movie you don't really want to see.
Yeah.
Just for a little reprieve of just sitting in the AC. But typically, no. I mean, the last house we lived in, we lived in a duplex. Our friends owned the house. They lived upstairs. We lived downstairs. We did not, there was no central air.
Now, I don't... I'm no HVAC expert, but with it getting as hot as it is,
mm-hmm.
I would almost think this is how I've always treated central air is don't try and push it too hard when it's, you know, as warm as it's going to be.
Sure.
The 72,
that's just going to send the energy bill crazy.
Right. And you're really going to tax it. Your AC is basically now, depending on how your insulation in your house is holding it in, the amount of sunlight, all that stuff matters.
Yeah.
So, like, some rooms might be way too hot, even if it's at a normal temperature. And other ones, if it's just getting sun and you're not pulling the shades. I think 72 is where you start.
And you kind of try and higher sleep it. Because you could scare her off. You could scare her off from the standpoint when it's 93 outside.
Yeah.
And you walk into 72.
Yeah.
It's kind of a punch.
Oh, yeah.
And then get used to it.
You love that punch, though. It's a great punch.
Guys love the punch.
But you know what the problem is with the punch?
Yeah.
When you have to go back outside.
Uh-huh.
And, yes. and then it just feels, whoa.
I know, but...
It literally, the air feels heavier when you walk outside.
But you don't want your wife coming in from 93 all of a sudden to, wow. That's why I'm saying 74.
Okay.
And then you can peel it back.
See if we can kind of sneak it down.
I mean, my AC runs all the time because I have allergies.
Okay.
And it filters the air. So if it's 80 degrees out and not humid, I still have it set at 71.
Yeah. Ours just runs. I deal with the bill at the end of the month. It is what it is.
Yes.
But comfort in my house is the utmost importance. Now, you have a little bit different where you... I haven't lived without AC of some sort, even window units, for, like, I think I had one apartment that didn't have it.
Yeah, so I moved out. The apartment that had, like, that window-type unit, I moved out of there in 2016. Like, that was the last time I had access to
it. Our apartment has three of them, and two of them run consistently. One's in the bedroom, one's in the living room, and then one in the kitchen we use when we're in the kitchen and it's hot and you're cooking, which could make it a nightmare. So I'm used to a life of that thing's pumping.
Yeah.
And I might throw on a sweatshirt on a 90-degree day because I'm sitting in front of the AC and it's pumping on me so cold. So I live with the ramifications of that. And
what do you set yours at?
Oh, like 65.
Ah, I like that.
Yeah, Drew likes it. Yeah, but I'm also never thinks get it's there. Aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm never gonna get there, but that's
it's not... also different when it's a window unit because that is like the whole room isn't 65.
Yeah, it's
at
not
that
like
point.
It's regulating. Yeah. Right. It's just pumping out the air.
Yes, yeah. So you're kind of just fighting with the older home, and I mean your house has been remodeled, so I would imagine you're pretty good in terms of like keeping your cool air in your house.
I would think most people probably are anywhere from 70 to 72, right?
Right. So we've got some here. Dave from Aaron saying, Chewy nailed it on the head. Start high, you can always start dropping. Also knowing HVAC, wash your condenser fins on our... They wash these condenser fins on the unit outside. Makes the unit perform better. All right, good tips, good mm-hmm. things to mm-hmm. know. Alex says 74 during the day, 72 or less at night.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not yet. AC and Tosis is 74. DJ in the Saw. I'm a cold-blooded Wisconsinite, so 65 is perfect. His wife is from Ghana. She wants it at 80, so we compromise. So we compromise at 80.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could survive an 80. I could. That is sweatbox to me.
Yeah. Why even have it on?
Right.
Right?
80's cooler than 90.
Go back to the fans. No, I would go 74.
74.
The worst is if you scare her off. If you go 72, she's going to pump that thing up to 76.
Okay.
You don't want it at
76. So start at 74.
Yes. And then peel it. But right. I agree with the sleeping, adjusting it at night.
Yeah.
And then, you have to do it. See, I have battles with my wife. Like when we go into a hotel, I go right in.
Oh,
put
yeah.
it at 69,
in a hotel?
And then I'll go, look, it's at 74.
Yeah. If I'm going to a hotel, like when I go to Vegas every year for the golf trip, it's about the only time I sleep in a hotel anymore.
Yeah.
First thing I do, yeah, I do jack that thing down. Like, yeah. I am just jacking it down because sleeping in cooler weather is fantastic. Yeah. We'll continue to get to your reactions. What should I be setting my AC at? It's the first time I've ever had it, at least, you know, central air through the house. More Jen and Gabe and Chewy coming up in 2 minutes.